December 31st. So what's tomorrow's date? January the 1st. January 1st, 2024, right? But what does that actually mean? Right? Tomorrow's the start of a new year. But it must mean something. What does it mean? Is it the start of something new for you? What will change next year? Will the news get any better? Will people be nicer to each other? Will the weather always be sunny? Who knows? Nobody knows. And if Indy is willing to make a prediction, they're probably not to be trusted. But I've got some good news for you. In this next year, God is still to be trusted. God does not change. We've got this message repeated in the Bible. The character of God does not change. God is not variable. His character is unchanging. I reckon if the Bible says something several times and says it several different ways, then it's probably important. Agreed? I hope so. Okay, so here's a few verses that tell us in different ways that God's character, God's personality does not change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect present comes from heaven. It comes down from God, the creator of the heavenly lights, who does not change or cause darkness by turning. Numbers 23:19, God is not like people who lie. He is not a human who changes his mind. Whatever he promises, he does. He speaks and it is done. Romans 11:29, for God does not change his mind about whom he chooses and blesses. And last one just now, Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord and I do not change. And so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not yet completely lost. We'll actually come back to that one later. That's not the whole list of everywhere in the Bible that says God doesn't change. There's lots of it, but you get the idea. The Bible makes it very clear that God is unchanging. He can be relied on day by day, year by year. I've got some news for you. And this is a scientific prediction. And it's as reliable as any science can be. And that is, the sun is going to fail. Science can tell us, by studying other stars, that the sun is going to turn from the nice big yellow globe in the sky, it's going to turn into a red giant. That means it's going to get a lot bigger, it's going to get a lot colder, and about 2,000 times brighter than it is today. Oh, and by the way, life on Earth will be wiped out by it. But don't worry. The sun's only about halfway through its life cycle. So the thinking is that we've got about 5 billion years before that happens. I suspect that mankind will probably find ways to wipe out life on Earth way before then. Anyway, so the sun is changing. The thing that we think of as constant, no, it's been very similar all our lifetimes. But in a few billion years, the sun's history. Nothing physical remains forever, but God can be relied on 100%. So, what changed for you last year? For me, something happened that was, in some way, slightly unpleasant. I had a birthday. Did the same happen to you? Maybe you're still at the stage where every birthday is a positive thing. I can remember, I've got a long memory, I can remember when, hey, next year is going to be better. Next year I'm going to be able to do more things. I'll be allowed to do more things. It might even be that I'll be able to do things legally. How about those years when you reach the age to drive? Or maybe you're going up to the big school. We change, our circumstances change, but God never changes. We've got some friends whose lives changed massively this year. I think of one couple who, their marriage fell apart. They're now living separately. And that was horrible. But it brought home just how important it is to know who and what can be relied on. And there is only one person we can rely on 100%, and that's God. When everything around you is falling apart, when the whole world is being turned upside down, it's important to find a solid place to stand. And it's in times like that when there's one verse that really matters. Psalm 46:10. Anybody know it off the top of their head? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. What does that know mean? It's more than just some sort of head knowledge. It's not some theoretical idea. It's knowing deep down in your soul just who God is and how he can be relied on. And how do we know that? We know it because we've experienced God time and time again. If you've just recently got to know God, then look forward to deepening that relationship. Trust God and learn to trust him more and more. Trust his goodness. Be willing to stretch your trust in him. He will not let you down, and that's guaranteed. And the longer that we go on deepening our experience of God, trusting him, loving him, speaking about him, reaching out to him, then the easier it is to be still and know that I am God. The more often that you have prayed about things and watched God bring a solution, the quicker you are to ask him the next time. If you've seen God reach out and touch someone or prevent somebody getting into trouble, then it's that little bit easier to know that he can do it again and to know that he will do it again. Experience God in every way that you can. Ask him to give you chances to stretch your faith, but do so with your eyes wide open. Because it can be dangerous to ask God to stretch you, because being stretched can be a scary thing. Right, there's one passage that we mentioned earlier Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. And it opens with this idea that God does not change. But it goes on. It goes on about how we can experience God more. So, if I read from verse 6 to verse 12 in Malachi 3. I am the Lord and I do not change, and so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not yet completely lost. You, like your ancestors before you, have turned away from my laws and have not kept them. Turn back to me and I will turn to you. But you ask, what must we do to turn back to you? I ask you, is it right for a person to cheat God? Of course not. Yet you are cheating me. How, you ask? In the matter of tithes and offerings. A curse is on all of you because the whole nation is cheating me. Bring the full amount of your tithes to the temple so that there will be plenty of food there. Put me to the test and you will see that I will open the windows of heaven and pour out on you in abundance all kind of good things. I will not let insects destroy your crops, and your grapevines will be loaded with grapes. Then the people of all nations will call you happy, because your land will be a good place to live. There's a really important bit in there, and that's verse 10. It says, put me to the test, and you will see that I will open the windows of heaven and pour out on you in abundance all kind of good things. That's God inviting us to put him to the test. You can read that as God saying things like, give me my rightful place in your life and watch how I will bless you. Or put my kingdom first and you'll see me in a new light. Give me a chance to prove myself to you and you can build your faith. Every time we see more of God's action in our lives, the more we can rely on him and his goodness, right? Of course, New Testament does have verses that tell us not to put God to foolish tests. But that's quite different. That's about manipulating a situation, whereas this one is all about letting God convince you in your own life about his glory and power. God does not change. So we can ask him for things and know that he will give the best solution. We can rely on the fact that he has our best interest at heart. And he sees everything in the context of eternity. So we never need to doubt his judgment, even if it's not obvious to us what God's up to at the moment. We can trust him. He never changes. We can trust him. And God wants us to follow him step by step. Not just year by year. God is not going to give you a 5-year plan for your life. He doesn't work that way. But he does want you to react to every situation as the Holy Spirit leads. So, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what should we do about that? I'd suggest one thing. For the next few minutes, and maybe repeatedly through this first week of the year, let's do something far more effective than making New Year resolutions. Right? What we can do is we can remind ourselves of God's goodness. Here's a good way to start. I've got a list here of some of the names of God used in the Bible. And each name of God, it's part of the description of God's character. I'm going to read out some of them, some verses that they come from, and I want you to think how God has proved that bit of his character to you. Have you seen God's character, this part of God's character, in your own life, in the life of people around you? For example, the first one I've got is, one of the names of God is Elohim. And forgive my pronunciation of the Hebrew. I'm guessing, right? Elohim means the creator God, right? Can you think of how you have seen God as creator? I'd be inclined to think of a sunset, right? Or think of your favorite view. Or think of the smile on the face of a certain baby. Think of that. Think of Creator God. And then say something like, God, I love you because you're creative. Thank you for always creating new things. So while you're thinking of that Elohim, the Creator God, that name is used in thousands of places. Here's one of my favorite quotes. Isaiah 40:28. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He created all the world. He never grows tired or weary. No one understands his thoughts. He strengthens those who are weak and tired. Even those who are young grow weak. Young people can fall exhausted. But those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow weak. So that's tying in the idea of Creator God and how we can get strength from Creator God. Here's another name for God that talks about his character. El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, right? Psalm 84:8. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen, O God of Jacob. Bless our King, O God, for the King you have chosen. One day spent in your temple is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather stand at the gate of the house of my God than live in the homes of the wicked. Okay, here's a few other names of God. Let me just run through a list of them. And as I mention them, think to yourself, have I seen this character of God? El Roy, the God who sees me, the God who knows me. Right? Yahweh Rophe, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. Yahweh Nissi, the Lord, my banner, my flag. Yahweh Ra, the Lord, my shepherd. And how about Yahweh shalom. The Lord is peace. I'm sure you can think of many others. There are many names given to God in the Bible, many descriptions of God. And they're all reflecting the character of God, this character that does not change. So, just to wrap up, this week, at the start of the new year, try day by day thanking God for the fact that he never changes. Spend some time telling him how you love him because he's always there. In the good times and in the tough times. I'd strongly encourage you to take time to thank God for his faithfulness, for his steadfast love. Let's just close in prayer. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that you're the person that we can rely on. You're the one that we can trust no matter what. Although we change, the world changes, everything changes around us. Lord God, we thank you that you do not change. In this new year, you are the same faithful God. So we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.